Welcome back to the Sports Sermon. We've got an emergency NBA trade deadline podcast coming at you hot today. I'm joined by four pretty big basketball fans here today. First off, I want to introduce Ryan Miller, executive news editor.
Hello.
We've also got Parker Houston, halftime sports editor.
Red alert, red alert.
Also, Tyler Paree, sports editor.
Secure the bag alert.
And Christopher Dunn, ed board chair.
2 hours off of being as mad as I've been this entire season.
We'll get to that.
I have not calmed down.
So, you know, we're gonna look at a lot of the more recent trades that happened in the NBA. You know, obviously a few really big moves over the past few days. First, I just want to rehash some of the other pretty big trades that happened earlier this year. First off, on January 19th, Kyle Korver went to Cleveland for a few guards and I think a first-round pick in 2019. On February 13th, Yusef Nurkic and Memphis's first-round pick went to Portland for Mason Plumlee and a future second-round pick. On the 14th of February, Serge Ibaka went to Toronto for Terrence Ross and a first-round pick to Orlando. And just today, even though, you know, not a major trade, Roy Hibbert went to Denver from Milwaukee. Shout out Hoya. And he,
Sean's finest.
The last great one.
He was, fun fact, he was actually traded to Milwaukee on the 2nd of February and didn't play a minute there. So, I don't know. Let's go, Roy.
Never get off the plane.
So, probably the biggest trade over the past few days was this past Saturday, where DeMarcus Cousins was traded from Sacramento to New Orleans. And, you know, this package kind of got a lot of heat because a lot of people, you know, thought it was a terrible trade for Sacramento. The full trade was that DeMarcus Cousins and Omri Caspi.
Say the man's name.
I'm sorry.
Let's show some respect.
He's a Sprite ambassador.
They both went to New Orleans in exchange for Buddy Hield, Tyreek Evans, Langston Galloway, a 2017 first-round pick with top three protection, and a 2017 second-round pick. You know, first off, I want to get Ryan's take because he is a Sacramento fan. What did you think of this one, buddy?
I mean, I had a lot of takes, a lot of opinions. A lot of it was personal for me in terms of DeMarcus Cousins and my connection to him as a fan. I mean, I think from a basketball standpoint, it's like you got half the talent in that trade, basically. You gave, I think I was listening to a podcast where it said, you know, a dollar, you got 50 cents on the dollar for that trade, which is 100% accurate. But on the other hand, DeMarcus Cousins also has not taken us to the playoffs, and we were about to potentially give him, if not the biggest, one of the biggest contracts in NBA history. And I guess the Kings decided their priority was not to take the risk on someone who they claimed did not have the right culture and the right attitude for their team. However, my personal opinion is the culture attitude around Sacramento is still and always has been for the past 10 years instability, and this just continues that culture of instability. I don't really see it helping us, definitely not in the short term. The long term, I feel like it just puts us on 5 more years of, at the very best, like the 10th spot in the West.
Yeah, I mean, I saw there's a tweet here that, you know, a source familiar with the Kings said that Vivek, who's their owner, said that he thought Buddy Hield has Steph Curry potential.
Dear Jesus.
And that was a pretty big driver in, you know, ultimately agreeing to this deal. You know, what do you guys think of that?
What did he say? He said he was like, shoots like Steph, but big like Clay was the exact quote, which is hilarious to me. He's like obsessed with Buddy Hield.
Him and Magic are competing for the worst takes in terms of evaluating talent.
Can we just talk about how insane, though, like what he said was, because like before that, and I know it was like somewhat taken out of context, but like he also mentioned that he had gotten a better deal the day before.
Theory. That was Vlade, and I think Vlade is secretly really pissed at Vivek because Randive, like, he loved Ranadive. He loves Buddy.
Yeah.
And he wanted to trade for someone else, but Ranadive was like, I have to have Buddy Hield because I'm obsessed with him and I have pictures of him on my wall.
All I'm saying is that touches, like, what Ryan was talking about is, like, how poorly run this franchise is. Is that, like, you've got the one guy coming out and saying, like, the guy we just got is the next Steph Curry. And then you have the other guy saying, we got a better deal yesterday. Like,
yeah.
If he's the next Steph Curry, then there's no better deal than what they got, right? Like, there's no other way to look at it. I also want to point out Ryan wrote an excellent halftime piece about the emotional attachment to Boogie.
Plug.
It was very good. little shameless plug there from a man's.
What's up with everybody coming after Steph Curry, though? First, Lonzo Ball's dad is out here saying his son is better than Steph right now, and now we have people saying Buddy Hield is the next Steph Curry.
Well, I mean,
person saying Buddy Hield is better than the next
Steph
Curry.
It's Vivek, and I mean, if you follow anything about the Kings, you know that the way he operates, he gets these ideas in his head. I mean, like everyone saw the Grantland video of him saying Stauskas. He gets these ideas in his head, and
unless
like
it's two guards.
And what's kind of crazy is the first. I mean, so he took over as owner in 2013, 2014, and the first idea he popped in his head was Rudy Gay, which ended up working out for the Kings, like, somewhat. I don't think Rudy's, like, the best player, but, like, when he got there as owner, he said, I want Rudy Gay. And, like, when you look at the Kings, all the transactions they've had since he's been owner, that has been the one transaction that I'd say has worked out the best.
His second idea was to go with four players on defense and have one man back to cherry pick every play.
That was definitely taken out of context. And I feel like, I mean, it was one of those things where he had the idea and obviously said it, but it was more like, let's be innovative in basketball. Like, he wasn't actually going to, like, force the head coach to go 4-on-5.
Did you read that the very first ESPN article about Ranadive talked about how he used to coach, like, 8-year-old girls basketball, and he would full court press every game for 48 minutes.
I mean, yeah, he's one of those owners who, because he was a minority owner on the Warriors, so he saw like the beginning of what was going to eventually become their, you know, dynasty right now. And he's had, you know, it's always sort of been in the past couple of years that relationship to Golden State and Sacramento of like you see the greatness of the Warriors, and they really, but like 10 years ago, it was flipped where they were the ones struggling, and we were the ones who, you know, were on top, and they had that envious look to us. So I think Ranadive is just looking at it like one of those things where he wants to be the hip team, like the way the Warriors are the hip team in Silicon Valley. But
yeah, I don't know if that's really working out.
No. Either way,
wait, you're
right?
Telling me Darren Collison, Tyreke Evans, and Aaron Aflalo can't lead this team to the promised land? I tell you, you're wrong.
The thing about culture that he was talking about with Boogie, by the way, like speaking of Darren Collison, that makes no sense. Darren Collison got arrested for domestic abuse.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Like they have a ton of players on their team who are obviously not good culture guys. It doesn't make very much sense. His justification for it.
And the other thing about, you know, the thing that frustrates me about the culture thing is then it's not like DeMarcus changed overnight. Mm-hmm. And you know, this season it's the quickest he's gotten to the like suspension for the number of texts he's gotten. And like, while you could say that is the reason why, you know, this season might be an anomaly, I mean, he's also hasn't had a major injury this season, and he was potentially vying for a playoff spot, so there's just more pressure. So, of course, he's going to be more emotional. So I don't really see how, you know, DeMarcus was the exact same person last summer and two summers ago when they probably would have gotten a better deal out of it, when they would have gotten 75 cents on the dollar for his deal. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense now to say that that's the reason, this culture.
It doesn't make any sense to me at all. First off, it doesn't make sense why they did it now in the middle of the year, and like the first time in how long has it been since they were in the spot at the All-Star break where they like were kind of in playoff potential? I mean, it's been forever. And so like, why do they do that then? Why do they do it like on Sunday night with so many, like with so much time before the deadline? Like, you're telling me they couldn't like throw that offer out there? Like, everyone knew Boogie was like kind of out there. I don't know. I just like it again. I can't think enough of like, you know, for all of, like, the culture issues that he might have and, like, all the times he might, you know, scream out at a coach and get a technical and do something stupid, like, why the hell would anyone want to go play in Sacramento now? If, like, if you can just get, like, pawned off like that and you realize how, like, shitty they run the whole operation, I just, like, don't even understand why. Like, that's such a bad look for the ownership of that team and, like, the GM. And
it's tough being, you know, the Kings and then other teams, like, you'd say, like, the Nuggets, the Timberwolves, like, small market teams, like, they just never attract free agents. And so, like, you know, if you're going to – the way to do it is you build through trades in the draft. Well, we just traded away our best player, and then who we get in the draft.
That you drafted, yeah.
Yeah, and then – but we get –
drafted so many good players.
Yeah.
And we're a horrible drafting team, and that's the thing. Is so we have this New Orleans pick, but we just gave New Orleans Cousins, and they're prop – I've, like – they're going to at least be competing for the playoffs. I feel like they probably will make the push and make it. So it's not even a lottery pick. And then because of poor past trades, we have a pick swap potentially with the Sixers. If they,
I just like, yeah. I mean, like, it's just frustrating. It's not frustrating for me, but like I can see why it would be frustrating, you know, to just look at that. Especially like Tyler brought up that they have drafted good guys in the past.
Yeah,
just
like making Hassan
shit traits.
Hassan got rid of him, right? Like,
what?
Well, okay. Drafted Hassan got rid of him.
Yeah, but Hassan, no, at that time he'd been on other teams and he like had to go play overseas.
But you guys drafted Colley Stein over McCollum.
Yeah,
they went for Lillard when what was the year they had the fifth pick?
Thomas Robinson.
Went Robinson over Lillard. Like, there have been some bad choices.
Yeah, right? It's like, I don't
we can, like, there, if you go,
well, yeah, look, nobody knew Damian Lillard from Weber right. State was going to blow up.
Fair,
but still, these are objectively bad. This is like the Wizards for like the longest amount of time. I remember them drafting terribly and terribly and terribly, and they've done better recently, so. I'm sorry to see you like this, Ryan. It makes me feel sad, buddy.
And it's not just the drafting for me. It's like, I think like the most telling, and like this will transition, I guess, into the next one because Nick just made the noise that he wants to transition, is like that the trade that the Sixers made with the Kings and like how much the Kings got freaking screwed over. Sixers, I'm a Sixers fan. We're like looking at getting the pick swap with you guys. And it's just, and like, who did you get for? You guys get the rights to this guy who's still in Germany?
No. I think he's in like a more an Eastern European country.
Jesus.
Apparently he's nasty. That's what I've
heard. Like, yeah, some guy's like tearing up like the Hungarian leagues or something. Like, and I just like, oh god, you hate to see it. You really do.
Hey, Giannis was tearing up the Greek league at one point.
True.
Oh, so that was in the. That was in the Stauskas trade.
Oh, yeah.
We gave Stauskas and picks.
Stauskas.
Yeah. The thing about that trade also, if you look at that just that free agency, that got us the Rajon Rondo, Marco Bellinelli, and Kosta Koufos.
That's fair.
Like that, but like, no, but the only one who's still on the team is Kosta Koufos, right. who's now our starting center. Which, like, Koufos is a great, like, backup center in the league.
Player. But yeah.
I can also just see why they would have... wanted to do that for Rondo. It didn't work out, but like I can see that. It's just like looking back, it looks so bad.
All right, we're not even going to talk about the GOAT Omri Caspi.
Let's move on then to the
thank you Boogie.
thank you Boogie. Let's use that transition to then go over to the Sixers trades. So the 22nd they sent Ersan Ilyasova to Atlanta for Tiago Splitter, which is pretty much just like an expiring
Tiago Splitter's corpse.
Yeah, he's been hurt and his contract is expiring, so I assume that's just, you know, offloading some dead money. And they also got a future second-round pick and swap rights to another second-round pick from Atlanta. And then, you know, the big deal was today, where the 76ers sent Nerlens Noel to Dallas, which is, you know, that's a huge trade. I think we all knew that the Sixers were looking to move either Noel or Jahlil Okafor, but they ended up sending Noel. And what they got in return is a 2017 top 18 protected first round pick. That's such a funny random up there.
The dumbest shit
ever.
Couldn't get 17?
They also got Andrew Bogut, who I think they already cut and bought out. And they also got Justin Anderson. Because it's assumed that Dallas will end top 18, and so. You know, the pick won't go to the Sixers. So if that doesn't happen and Dallas ends up outside the top 18, the pick will turn into 2 second round choices.
God damn it.
Next year.
I believe that would be your 18th and 19th second round picks in next year's draft.
Like, this is
unreal.
This is, oh my, I was really pissed off at this.
This is hilarious.
Mostly because, you know, there were Ramona Shelburne reported the other day that, you know, the Pelicans were close to a deal for Jahlil Okafor, a couple weeks ago, offering a similar package as they did to Sacramento for the Boogie trade, except it didn't include Buddy Hield. I would have fucking taken that in a second.
Oh my god, dude. The other thing is, like, I would have taken what they got from the Mavs for Okafor in a second, but, like, Nerlens Noel's a really good basketball player who's now gonna fucking play on that team for, like, 7 years, and... It just like the absolute highway robbery. Like, all right, I want to
start down.
Slow down, and I'm gonna talk about this slightly rationally. Because first off, what I want to say is the person who I honestly feel the worst for out of all of this. There's two. There's one is Jahlil Okafor, who absolutely like Colangelo, Brian Colangelo, the GM of the Sixers, like could not have handled the situation worse. Like, last week, Okafor didn't travel with the team to Charlotte because they told him he was going to be on this trading block. And then they brought him with the team to Boston, but the thought process was that he was going to be in a trade to Boston. He wasn't going to be coming back. And that didn't happen. Right? They had leaked out to Woj. They had leaked out to basically everybody, to Mark Stein and to one other guy, another ESPN writer, that said, like, he will be moved on Thursday. And he's on the team. And so now Jahlil Okafor is on a team that he knows that the fan base doesn't want him there. He knows that the front office doesn't want him there. What do you do to him? He doesn't want to be there. What do you, like, you could not have handled that worse. If you don't send a guy on the road, that deal better be fucking done.
What I saw was that they didn't even have a solid offer at that point. They had done that to drive up more interest in him because people will say, oh shit, a trade is closed. Let's go talk to the Sixers if we actually want this guy.
I mean, how embarrassing is that?
And that's just so fucked up. Like,
how embarrassing is that for Jahlil Okafor, who now has to, like, you know, what is he doing? And the other person I feel bad for is Rashawn Holmes, who the Sixers had coming off the bench. He's basically been playing all of Okafor's minutes lately, and now he doesn't. I mean, the Sixers got, what, two more centers? They're going to buy
him
out.
He's got Nerlens' spot now, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, he does. It's just, like, I hope he gets – I simultaneously hope he gets every one of Okafor's minutes because he played really well in the last month and a half. But I also hope that Okafor gets, like, a standing O when he plays in Wells Fargo Center next because he deserves that. He got screwed over by the freaking front office. That's not his fault. And he played like a pro. Colangelo screwed him over.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, Noel is, like, I would probably argue he's, like, an elite defensive. He can be elite defensive player in the league. Like, yep. He, you know, doesn't have the offensive skills, but, and, you know, when you have Joel Embiid, and, like, I was venting my frustrations on Sixers Reddit today, and
as one does.
I saw, like, so many people were like, oh, you have Embiid, so, like, that gives you the ability to send this guy away. But, you know, Embiid gets hurt every other fucking day, and, like, people are like, oh, you don't want to re-sign him to a big contract. But, like, when you have someone like Embiid ahead of him, I feel like that might be worth it to sign him to, like, a decently sized contract, maybe even a max contract.
It's been really interesting to watch the way that Philly's treated Jahlil as a trade piece, because I think they have this giant sunk cost fallacy with, like, we picked him at three, we need number three help for him.
Mm-hmm. Bullshit.
And they just need to get rid of him. They know they're never going to get that, but they keep looking for a better deal. They want to artificially inflate his price, which is just never going to happen. And then you end up trading Nerlens for something you should have traded Jahlil for.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think what you see out of, like, you know, I like joke about the process a lot, whatever every Sixers fan does.
It's not
but
a
like,
joke, bro. It's a lifestyle.
Hinkie had, you know, he had a plan and he carried it out. Like, you can disagree with it, you can agree with it, whatever. He had a plan and carried it out. Like, that's how front offices should work, is they should have a goal and they should do it. Like, what is Colangelo's, like, vision right now with this team?
So then what do you think Sam Hinkie would have done?
We would have, like, 30 second-round picks if Hinkie had been in charge. But
I think you currently have 17 for nothing, I think you currently have 17 left in the next three picks.
Right.
Draft.
I have a joke. I have something interesting to brought up about that in a second. But
go ahead, Ryan.
Sorry, Ryan.
Well, I was just gonna say, would you have gotten like something? Would you have gotten like nothing for Jahlil?
First off, I feel like he would have handled the Okafor situation much better.
Yeah.
Like, just to start out, and then I think from there it could progress. Like, you know, maybe he would have gotten this deal, maybe not. But I think, like, the problem right now is that, like, you have Okafor in a place where everyone, like, he knows people don't, like Dunn said, he knows people don't want him there. He doesn't want to be there. The front office doesn't want him there. It's just like,
basically what Brian Colangelo has done so far in being in charge of the Sixers is lied to the people about Joel Embiid's injury, lied to the people about Ben Simmons' injury, like, not like didn't talk about it, lied about it, screwed over Jahlil Okafor, and traded Nerlens Noel for just something that is, like, like a top 18 protected from the Mavericks, who are, like, what, they're, like, bottom
eighth
of the... Jesus, God, like, how do you... I don't know. It's, like, really frustrating.
He's, like,
that.
Clearly done wrong by your four best players.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Within half a year of having the job.
Yeah.
I do want to point out, though, that we're talking about second-round picks. I don't know if anybody here remembers Spencer Hawes when he was on the Sixers.
I will never forget
that. But he has brought to Philly 5 second-round picks himself. Because Spencer Hawes was traded for the 2014 second-round pick and also Jeremy Grant, who we then traded for 2 second-round picks, and Ersan Ilyasova, who we traded for 2 second-round picks. So never forget that 5, maybe 6 second-round picks came from Spencer Hawes. Very well-deserved. I just I can't clap on here because I want to screw with the audio, but I can't thank Spencer enough for what he's done for the organization.
Spencer Haas at one point had a banner inside of the Clippers version of the Staples Center, and it was like a monolith of how terrible the Clippers were for so long.
All right. Yeah. Now let's move on to another, you know, this is one of the trades that, you know, it's not really as full of stars as the past two we've discussed were, but it's definitely going to have a huge effect on, you know, some of the conference races. Lou Williams goes from the Lakers to Houston for Corey Brewer and a first-round pick, which, you know, Lou Williams is arguably one of the best six men, if not the best six man in the league.
He's got a song about him. He's the best six man in the league.
I mean, he's the seventh man on that team now, though, isn't he?
Yeah, no, he's the seventh man.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a big deal.
Still, absolutely.
Yeah, he's averaging, like, 19 a game for the Lakers on, like, 24 minutes. It's ridiculous.
I just saw a tweet. It was like, now that Lou Williams is on the Rockets are coming for all the points. It's literally exactly what they're going to do. True. They will outscore anybody, maybe except for Golden State. Yeah. They can simply get to the Western Conference Finals by outscoring anybody. I have no lack of confidence in saying that. Because James Harden is... Look, I hated on him in some podcast we did earlier in the year, and I could not eat my words more than I do right now.
He's unreal.
I am absolutely blown away by James Harden right now. I think he's probably the fourth best player in the league at the moment, so Houston has a good chance to make it to the Western Conference Finals, and this only helps adding another piece off the bench.
Well, that's what I was going to talk about. You mentioned him making maybe to the Western Conference Finals. I was really interested when this was all going to start to see, like, who in the West was going to be a buyer, because it's, like, so... You know, when you look at Golden State as something that, like, you're eventually going to have to face... It's, like, so bizarre, and, you know, they're not going away anytime soon. And so, like, who is willing to buy in a conference where, for the next 4 years, like, you're not going to be the favorite? No matter who you buy, right, you're not going to be the favorite. But I think it was a good move by the Rockets to do it because, you know, Harden is now basically playing his prime, and he's, like we said, he's playing the best he's ever played in his career. He's playing one of the best in the league. And, you know, it's just, like, if nothing else for the fans, like, deserve to see the Rockets be the best team they can be. And, like, I'm really happy that they are. I'm also really happy that, like, you know, so one in the Western Conference isn't competitive, but, like, 2, 3, 4 really are. And the playoffs are going to be really fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were going to be without it, but, like, now, like, that's just, like, they're going to be such a good scoring team out in Houston. It's going to be really fun to watch.
Yeah, and I'm actually looking right now. Mark Stein is reporting that, along with Cleveland and San Antonio, Houston is trying hard to get Andrew Bogut to sign a deal with them, which
would be really cool.
Yeah, Sixers, get rid of him. I'm fine with that.
I don't know if the Sixers have actually agreed to a buyout yet, but it's definitely in the works, and I'm sure it's
going to happen. They're going to.
So then, you know, we have, I think this was yesterday, Washington picked up Bojan Bogdanovic, Chris McCullough, for Andrew Nicholson, Marcus Thornton, and a 2017 first-round pick from Brooklyn, to Brooklyn for Bogdanovic and McCullough. You know, this is a good trade for both teams, I think, because, you know, Brooklyn, they made that ludicrous deal for Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce a couple of years ago, and they're still, you know, feeling the effects of that. They're a terrible team. They have no.
That might be the worst trade I can remember.
Like, yeah,
they have.
That's like worse than the Boogie trade.
Is it? Yeah,
it might be worse than the Boogie trade.
Talk about that.
That's. I think it absolutely is. I forget exactly what the deal was, but, like,
it was KG, Pierce, and
every single pick
first.
Ever. Yeah.
Just I think it was KG, Pierce, and 3 firsts.
Well, that's worse than the Boogie trade. Is that took
3 unprotected
traded
firsts.
Away a future for like a present win now, whereas like Boogie was trading away a win now for
and also they were like
a quasi.
I don't know, right. But anyways, you know, I think this is good for both teams because, you know, Brooklyn picks up a first round pick, even though it'll be likely, you know, mid-20s. They have the pick swap with the Celtics, so they'll have 2 20-ish picks that they could maybe package up and move up, or just, you know, build depth because they literally have none. And it also helps Washington because, you know, Bogdanovic is a pretty good scorer. He's been having a great season.
I think the Nets right now have the opposite record of Golden State, which is just incredible.
Oh, my God.
Well, unreal. The Wizards needed this badly, and this is insane. So the Wizards play their starters the second most out of anybody in the league. When all their starters are on the floor, they outscore opponents by 13 points on every 100 possessions. When just one reserve is on the court, they're outscored by 4.1 points.
Wow, that's
every 100 possessions. They needed somebody off the bench. they either needed a guard to replace the production of Bradley Beal when he's not on the court, or they needed somebody to come in and buffing up the rotation with Markieff Morris and Marcin Gortat, and they got it with Bogdanović because he can score. He's averaging, I think, 14.3 points per game this season. It's a career high. They needed somebody to score off the bench because they cannot do it.
And he's also insurance for when Bradley Beal inevitably misses a few games because he's one of the most frail players in the league.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about Bradley Beal getting injured because I don't want to jinx anything, but that was one of my concerns when the Wizards signed him this offseason. I was not on board with giving him the max because I thought somebody who gets hurt that much is not worth the risk. I'm eating my words. How long he'll stay healthy, I don't know. But this deal also gives the Wizards much more cap room. They got rid of Josh Nicholson. That's $6 million a year that was just sitting there. Andrew Nicholson, my bad. That's $6 million a year gone, and they can now give Otto the max money he needs to stay here, which gives you John Wall, Bradley Beal, and Otto Porter. The problem is when you have a young core like that to build around, you need more than just like one or two people coming off the bench because you have your 1-3 set. Marcin is only going to get older and less productive. Markieff is going to stay where he is. He is probably peaked where he is, and that's fine. He gives you what you need. You gamble away the opportunity with your first round pick. It's going to be like somewhere in the 20th or 30th pick. The problem is you gamble away an opportunity to build your rotation going down the road. This is like building your rotation now, which I think is fine because you have your core now. You have Otto, you have Brad, and you have John. I'm conflicted. I think it's a good trade, but there's two sides to it. Like, it's not like this is an A-plus deal for the Wizards.
Yeah. But, I mean, first of all, you have Oubre, who's still young and can still develop.
Yeah, no, he's very good.
And then Bogdanović, so he's only 27 years old, so you do still have, like, at least 5 years out of him if you want to keep him for a while.
People forget... Go ahead, actually.
Well, it's not... I mean, well, yes, you lose the pick. I don't think you totally wager your future away with that.
Bohan... People forget Bohan dropped 44 on the Sixers last year.
Sixers. It was 20 on a regular night.
If everybody forgets the 2015-2016 Sixers, that's totally fine.
That was a game between Brooklyn and the Sixers. It is not surprising.
Worst basketball game of all time.
Chances I was watching that, absolutely not.
The Washington Generals versus the Generals. This is an interesting... It's sort of an admission, though, by Washington that they messed up their free agent signings.
Yeah, they did. Jan Mahimi, I have never been more... Like, how mad... Chris was over what Philadelphia has done. That is how mad I was when the Wizards signed Jan Mahimi. It was like, oh, we couldn't get a meeting with Kevin Durant. So we'll just sign Jan Mahimi. Everybody will forget that we couldn't get Kevin Durant to have a meeting with his hometown team, and it'll be fine.
Look, man, at least
no, I have remembered, Ernie. I know what happened.
At least your team didn't sign Timofey Mozgov to 4 years, $64 million.
We signed Jan Mahimi to the exact same deal.
I know. That's still trading today.
I think it's interesting... that this, like, kind of shows... So Tyler was talking about, like, in the beginning, they gave Bradley Beal max money over the summer, and I honestly thought this was going to be a really dysfunctional franchise because John Wall was pissed about it, whatever. He was like, you know, he's mad that he's not making that money. It's all nonsense. But I was like, this team's going to suck because Wall and Beal are going to be mad at each other, and they're both just going to try to score 100 every night, and it won't work. It has worked, however, and they've been really good. So I think it's, like, interesting to see that, like, Washington is really buying into this core right now, right? Because, like, they're atop the Eastern Conference. They're going to make a run. I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens between them, the Celtics, the Cavs, not really the Raptors anymore because of injury. But, you know, they now, like, it kind of shows that for the first time, I'd say Washington has in a while. They're, like, buying into this team right now. And, like, they're spending the money, whatever. They're moving people for now. And I think Washington fans should be happy about that.
No, it's been a while. About the Raptors?
I said that they're not going to be as relevant at the end, I don't think.
Because of... I love the Ibaka deal for them. I was just listening.
No, I think Toronto will be viable. I think they'll be anywhere from 3 to 5.
I thought the Rosen's x-rays came back fine, that he was going to play in the next couple games.
Did not see that.
Well, speaking of what you're talking about, though...
Fake news.
Fake news. Did not see that.
But speaking about what you're talking about, like, for such a long time, there was, like, a malaise with Wizards fans. Like, I just remember, like, in middle school... Literally every year, I feel like I was in my friend's basement watching them lose to the Cavaliers in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. And now it's like we have a chance to make it to the Eastern Conference finals. And I think two through five in the Eastern Conference, those matchups in the playoffs are going to be...
Ooh.
This year's playoffs are going to be incredible. Because in the West, everybody after Golden State, I trust, other than like the eight seed.
Who can beat New Orleans with the two big men? If they
so
start
like seven or eight.
Yeah, if they start AD and Boogie and they're like eight, I would love to see what Steve Kerr throws out there.
I don't think... I mean, they're not going to beat the Warriors, but it's going to be...
They'll beat the crap. They'll physically beat the crap.
I trust you what Steve Kerr puts out there.
I think you could see. Yeah, because it might take. I mean, it will take AD and Boogie a while to like get to know each other and start like get that chemistry.
They're friends.
They got that Kentucky.
Kentucky baby.
They weren't there together though, were they?
They were there together, right. But they like. I mean, through Team USA,
I heard
they were together.
They got paid by the same people.
They got the same money.
I heard that Anthony Davis was trying to get Boogie to come to the Pelicans for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're good. I know they have like a personal relationship, and like there won't be. I mean, obviously, we'll see how it plays out on the court, but I don't think there'll be the competition where they're, like, competing with each other to try to be the starter. I think they will be able to, like,
coexist.
Exactly.
Their play styles work together. I don't think that's really an issue.
No.
I don't know if they do.
I mean, they're still... The Pelicans are in 11th right now, so they'll need to jump a couple spots.
Like,
but the Kings are ahead of them.
Games out,
the Kings are ahead of them, and they're going to drop.
Yeah.
Pick swap.
And then, Denver's... it's like Denver's out of the too. And I'm like
Denver, Kings, Trailblazers.
No, nobody can guard this front court. They will. They will make the eighth seed.
Yeah, this would be funny to watch.
It's
going to
be incredible.
See what Steve Kerr does.
Mason
Plumlee
now on Denver. Can guard
Steve Kerr needs Andrew Bogut right now.
can't sign him though.
Why?
I think there's some. I saw a Sam Amick tweet. Shout out USA Today.
Something about like waiving a player you can't resign
him
in a year. Interesting.
They can't sign until July 1st.
So last trade I want to talk about a bit here is the today. You know, OKC and Chicago agreed to a pretty interesting trade. OKC received Doug McDermott, Taj Gibson, and a 2018 second-round pick for Joffrey Laverne, Cameron Payne, and Anthony Morrow from Chicago, which this seems like a trade very swayed in Oklahoma City's direction. Do you guys think the same thing?
I mean, Anthony Morrow was money on NBA 2K7. I had like a 95 three-pointer, just saying.
This is a great deal for Oklahoma City. You get Doug McDermott.
Big East great, we should note.
Legend.
Big East legend.
That's not so that short. Put Omaha on the map. way before Peyton Manning was saying anything about it. No, I think this is good for Oklahoma City. You buff up your rotation a little bit. How big of a difference is it going to make in the Western Conference? I don't know. Oklahoma City will probably still be somewhere between the 5 and 7 seed, but it could help in the playoffs when you have a big... It only helps in the playoffs to have a deeper rotation.
OKC right now is like one of the worst shooting teams in the league, so that trade was really, really necessary for them because they needed at least one guy who can come off screens and hit stuff, who can play like regular minutes, because Morrow just can't guard anybody. He's not good.
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah.
And I also don't think... I mean, well, obviously it's more definitely a trade in favor of OKC, like, you know, maybe Cameron Payne being behind Russell Westbrook, like, he can still develop. And I mean, obviously, as Rajon Rondo as the point guard ahead of him right now in Chicago, but they may not play Rajon. They may bench Rajon and start Cameron Payne and see if he can actually develop into a player. Because I remember when he was when OKC drafted him, the Kings passed on him, and it was like that would have been like a risk had he developed into something for the Kings to pick him that high. It was like, we were top 10, and he went down to, like, 13 or something. But, I mean, he was a good player coming out of college.
He'll definitely get more minutes.
Yeah, and I still think he has, like, a ways to develop.
He's still a really good player. There was a stretch there. It was, like, early in the season when Donovan was running Westbrook at the 2 for, like, 20 minutes a game with Payne at the 1, and Payne was actually killing it. He has some serious talent. He's a great ball handler. Really good scorer and a solid playmaker too, and in a way that Westbrook wasn't when he was his age.
And a great handshaker.
Yes,
true.
Yeah.
Those handshakes die now, though.
True.
Rip.
Will they do them before the game if the Bulls play the Thunder?
No.
Because Westbrook hates anyone who
used
to play with him.
Yeah, Russell's gonna kill everybody.
Yeah. Man.
Oh dear God.
That's fun to watch.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, also reports recently that Deron Williams is potentially going to be waived by the Mavs and is expected to sign with Cleveland.
Mark Stein tweeted that.
Ooh,
and
that was tweeted mid-podcast, right?
That was tweeted mid-podcast.
Yeah,
that's
nice. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Second bit of breaking news. Joel Embiid, quote, "I wasn't happy with the way it was handled. about his very like classified knee injury. And I just want to say, Brian Colangelo, if you're listening, for the love of God, Joel Embiid should be happy every single day.
He's not listening.
I know.
Brian Colangelo loves the Georgetown voice.
Brian Colangelo, if you're listening, I have so many worse things to say to you right now.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, I just
Boogie, if you're listening, I love you.
Lou Will, if you're listening, we love you.
Thank you guys for joining me today on this emergency podcast. This was scheduled within, like, an hour. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, within, like, 10 minutes.
Don got his paper handed in, and we
were ready to go. I was in class.
We were ready to go here, but thank you guys for joining me. I just want to give a quick plug for our social media. You can follow Halftime, the Voice of Sports and Leisure blog, at Halftime GU. You can follow the Voice of Sports section at GU Voice Sports. You could follow the Voice generally at G-Town Voice. All of those are on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook and on iTunes at the Voice Podcast Network for all of our other podcasts. If you are interested in some of the personal takes, if you want to see some major sadness over the recent 76ers trade, you can follow me at Nick Gavio and Chris Dunn.
At Getter Dunn. It's a lot of sadness about the Sixers. Philly Twitter has been real bad today. Real bad.
Rough.
You can follow me at Tyler_Perre, Perre. It's a lot of just rap facts and random Wizards vines, but you might get a kick out of it. I don't
RIP
know.
Vine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can follow me at Buckets_Houston. My favorite thing I've tweeted recently is I retweeted, you know, when LeBron was like doing the bottle flip, I retweeted a picture of him flipping the new J. Cole album into a trash can.
Yeah.
Like
that.
Yeah. Shout out to Corey Brewer.
You follow me at Lillard Fillmore on Twitter, because A, Lillard is a B for my last name. A lot of Kings tweets, and a lot of sadness these days.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Bye, guys.